was it? 4, 5, 7. Because it seemed like the economic, the political, and the infrastructural all seemed to kind of blend together, and that they a package deal.
All right, great, great. We had another model of consolidating, kind of starting with number 8, how we can approach sustainable agriculture within scales, and then lumping together what can we learn from one another.
Hard task, I think, we're being asked to do, definitely. We talked in our group a lot about infrastructure, and does anybody want to share that with them, or would you like me to do it?
You capturing notes.
I was trying to capture notes. One of the big themes was that Pete has suggested a few times to flip the questions, and the idea was to help the sustainable agriculture. We need to develop infrastructure for sustainable agriculture actually working, community building and sustainability, and or flip it to...
Well, the idea is we've got to create an infrastructure so that it is financially viable for the farmers. I mean, the assumption going in is that farmers are hopefully the farmers engaged in sustainable agriculture are engaged in ecologically sound processes and principles. If I take that as a given, what we need to do is be creating an infrastructure that allows them to get their products to a market and get essentially a better value. And maybe that's a bigger market. Maybe that's those farmers, instead of growing smaller quantities of many things, they grow a few things at somewhat larger quantity, and that makes it easier in terms of getting it into distribution channels. And then they're working, so you need multiple farmers growing different things, essentially.
I think that breaks the law of sustainable agriculture to grow one thing, like, for example...
I'm not saying grow one thing.
Or three things. Like, yeah. For example, we grew potatoes. 1 out of 4 years, we get good potato crop. So if we just did potatoes, tomatoes, and something else, then, I mean, we rely totally on having... We grow 50 different crops. If we didn't do 50 different crops, we might lose... Or members, if we didn't get potatoes 1 year.
Yeah. So I think when I think of infrastructure, I understand what you're saying, and it needs to be done in a way that provides you with the security that you need.
Right.
On one hand, on the other hand, you got to look at the market, and if we're gonna have to supply schools, we're gonna have to supply restaurants, we're gonna have to supply broader segments of the population, and maybe even provide for export to the cities that don't have the land to grow their own food.
And with an infrastructure, I think that what you're trying to do is provide a place for people to, it's a dialogue place, it's a information center, it's a networking center, which
yeah.
I don't,
And what I'm thinking, and we've talked about, is that It provides the context in which we can talk about sustainability and move things forward. And it was also shared that it allows us, society, whatever, to work and think locally. And that has to happen first, I think, before we can solve the bigger problems. And that to me was a pretty critical piece where I think it's really, really important about how sustainable agriculture can, as we said in a few sessions, start at the grassroots and then allow it to go bigger.
Just to touch back on this infrastructure or changes, I think it can go the other direction too. I think there needs to be less dairy farms, which is kind of, you can't say that in Vermont at least, but it needs to be, we're producing too much milk in Vermont, Instead of farmers like Frank doing, cutting their diversity, have the farmers who are doing monocultures cut their monoculture production and be able to somehow shift that land to other productive enterprises that's more, you know, other commodity groups that are more diversified, you know, which is really hard to do because we have, it's so part of our culture and part of the family farm model for Vermont's dairies, but it's really kind of out, the economy trend, the economic trends are pushing it away, at least this area. I mean, we could feed Vermont with the amount of milk we have now, plus more. I mean, we're doing more than our consumption level. The other piece is that the farmer in over right across from Vermont in New York is the most successful vegetable farmer. He's not a lot of acres, and he doesn't do a CSA. He serves the Saratoga Springs and Gloves Falls farmers markets, and he keeps himself so successful by actually doing what Frank described, and he plants it. He does his risk aversion by planting multiple types of crops, and he does have failure. He always knows he's going to have failure in certain areas, but success in others. It's unpredictable. Like, you know, suddenly his spinach was doing great because of the E. coli scare. But he tells us, he told my class, that he had so much success because he has an anchor. He's like an anchor farm stand at the Saratoga Springs and Gloves Falls markets on different days, and those go into the winter. They're season extension markets. They're indoors in the winter. He's able to, he actually resellers and preserves a lot of his products, and he sells like almost like 8 or I guess 10 months of the year he's selling products. And but it just, and he also has greenhouses and does season extension at his farm. But it blew my mind how he was able just by lots of managing and thinking about and diversity of products with vegetables, he was able to make so much money. I mean, he really was doing, his big thing was like, see how well I'm doing organic agriculture, sustainable systems can really be, you know, profitable, and because so much you do here that's not. He was being profitable. He had the support of those markets.
And I'm not saying that, I'm not promoting one particular approach. I think as Peter's trying to point out, when we talk about building an infrastructure, the farmers, the end customers, the people, the distribution channels, they all have to get together to figure out what that infrastructure needs to be. And it may be different in different communities. Burlington has the Intervale. There are 14 farms farming one contiguous land. Those farms are not all growing 16 varieties of every different thing. I think there's coordination between them about what they're growing, and that also helps in terms of not trying to out people. So I think it depends on the structure of the agriculture in the region that you're in.
The markets, what?
Exactly. You've
got
to get the players together to
talk. Clearly, as was said in our group, is that this can't work in a vacuum. There's got to be coordination and connection. And also, what I picked up from it is that it's really hard to try to just focus on, you know, the one question without bringing in other goals of the symposium and other issues. And that really points to how interconnected things are. So
the systems approach really kind of,
yeah, it's definitely a systems approach.
Right, it's, yeah, everything. You really can't think of these things separately at all, because to build the consumer demand for the local produce, you have to start with little children, get them eating the local produce, and get them understanding about seasonality and all kinds of things. And that has to do with schools.
We've got to wrap this up, Amanda and I are going to hand out to you guiding questions that are in the booklet and the symposium evaluation. So we'll give you that, and I'm going to ask you to please take some time to fill this out. We're going to gather all back down in the community room, and in the next 10 minutes, we'll try to synthesize the symposium, close it, and then we'll have the reception. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Energized dialogue.